Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and I wanted to do working on a new concept. We'll see how it goes. This could be one of those things that lasts 1 week or becomes a weekly thing, but it's going to be a Tuesday Twitter reaction. So just a tweet that I saw that I wanted to react to, and I'm interested in some feedback on this because I find it interesting. And this is a thread that I've been pulling on a bit, which is, you know, what are you trying to accomplish in Dynasty? Are you trying to win? Are you trying to do something else? Right? Because I think that those things are really important questions to ask in terms of what your tactics are and what your decision process is, right? What factors you're considering and ultimately what your decision is. So this tweet was by someone called Outlawed Commish. It says, my thoughts on trade etiquette. If a manager proposes a trade, the expectations are you engage in conversation with that manager to come to an agreement or politely decline and propose a different deal to flat out. And there's a question mark there, which I don't think it's actually a question mark to flat out decline with no response is unacceptable behavior, in my opinion. Goes on that the essence of fantasy football is to have stable trade relationships with every manager. If you're not working as a business partner, your dynasty rosters will fail because when you need someone to trade with, your previous behavior is always remembered. The first thing to do in a new league is always build a working relationship with trusted trade partners. Having these key relationships for your dynasty roster will keep options open. The more partners you have, the better. Never decline without discussion. So it's interesting. And there's people that have talked about, you know, having there's someone at DLF who used to have like a notebook on each league and, you know, detailed stuff on each GM. I admit that I don't do that. It's probably a volume thing, honestly. I don't pay a ton of attention to the tactics and the stuff of my other GMs, but I'd be interested and curious about what other people think about this. So for me, one of the things that I'm always looking at, and again, maybe this could be a volume thing, and I'd be curious how many teams this person plays in, because, you know, and I'm just going through the replies here, and he doesn't say. I don't see him saying anyways, but, you know, it's again, there's not a right answer to everything. And I think, but this comes back to something that we pull on a bit. Number one, we steal from what we do for a living, I think a lot of times. And so for me, and I've noticed this, particularly with me, I've noticed it with other people that I've talked to, we use a lot of what we do for a living as sort of the lens with which we operate in Dynasty. So for me, right, if someone comes to me with a, hey, you know, my person was going, you know, 156 in a 35 mile an hour school zone, can you give them a parking ticket? Like, I'm just not going to respond, right? Like, I don't care about the working relationship in that set of circumstances. I'm just like, no, the answer is no. It's a stupid question. Now go away. Right. I mean, that's what, you know, without saying more, I don't need to go say that. I just say no, I'll politely decline it. I don't need to give a rationale for why. I think a lot of dynasty trading is that way. For me, at least, if someone, and Chad and I had this conversation, it's interesting because I wonder if I'm in the minority, but I don't get a ton of comments back either, which makes me wonder if I'm the pariah, but I do a fair amount of trading. Right? I would say that I'm over my league, my league average, whatever the league average, you know, would be what, you'd be involved in one out of six trades, I guess. I'm more than that, and most of, if not all of my leagues, that I'm a more active GM. So it's interesting that, like, I think there's different ways to get there, right? I don't find myself trading with all the same people, and I've had, you know, people that are really annoying trade partners that I've ultimately traded with later on, and I've never really had that experience. So for us, I mean, one thing I think, and we were having a discussion in the group chat too, I think for us, a lot of times we might not get inbound offers, right? And this can be a frustrating part of being in, I don't know, in the AOD sphere, is our rosters look a little bit different. Our rosters will have sometimes it'll have a lack of liquidity in June, right? No one really wants Darryl Williams in June, right? No one wants, Samaje Perine in June, right? No one wants Damian Williams, this iteration of Damian Williams, in June, right? But these are guys that we might have on our rosters that we might have a lot of. And there's some, right, there's a problem with that, which is that our rosters are a double-edged sword, right? Our rosters are highly effective. They are outproduce wide receiver-based rosters, and that's good, right? That's what we want. The problem is if you're looking to trade with them, it's the same reason that the same reason these guys are undervalued, right? The same reason Darryl Williams is undervalued is going to contribute to the fact that there's not going to be a big trade market for him, right? If he's undervalued in the acquisition price, he's probably going to be undervalued in the trade price too. And you're somewhat stuck, right? We've used examples of like the Oakland A's, the Rockets, for example, you know, 3-and-D wings. No one was super interested in them 15 years ago. And now the world can't get enough of them, right? And if you were sort of in on them before they were popular, no one was going to trade with you, right? They only had a value to you. They didn't have a value in the league. Now they're valuable to everybody. So that's one of the things that I found with us is that we tend to be a little bit illiquid at different times of the calendar, right now being one. You know, ultimately, I have settled on the idea of I think it's better to be right when it matters. It's better to be right and to understand that a lot of, you know, what might be my most powerful or my most influential or the best leverage I'll ever have in trade negotiations is when, that person needs to set a lineup in a critical game and they need a starting running back. And I've got one. Right? That might be the best chance we ever get. Maybe I'm naive to this, but I don't think what happens in June is going to dictate much of that demand in October or November. I just really, unless you're a flaming jerk to somebody, and I usually use a different phrase, but during COVID, I've learned that you can't, it's the flagrant use of profanity on podcasts. Is it helpful to people with families? So unless the person's a total flaming jerk, we'll probably reapproach him. I can honestly say in the handful of leagues that three dozen leagues that I've participated in, I've dropped a couple. I think I'm at 30 right now. I've dropped a couple. So let's call it three dozen. Like, I think that there's three people I won't deal with. Right. And that has totally to do with them being, not even unreasonable in trade negotiations, but them being in group chats and talking a whole bunch of nonsense about the trade negotiations, whether that's, revealing them, which drives me crazy, or just talking junk about me in a chat. And if that's what you're going to do, then we don't have a relationship. But otherwise, we're doing so much business that I don't really pay much attention to perceived slights. So I'm super curious because I have, in different conversations that I've had, people have said like, oh yeah, I always send a message back or whatever. And I just most of the time presume I'm being spammed. And I most of the time presume that the other GM, especially if it's something very specific, for example, I'll use one. We've all gotten these this week, which if you know who did this, let me know. But someone's recommending give a second for Deshaun Watson, which, by the way, side note, don't be the person that accepts a second for Deshaun Watson. Just if there's anything you need clarity on, that's your public service announcement for today. But most of the time, right, when there is a pick, when there is a I'll offer this player for a pick, most of the time I just assume I'm being spammed, right? Because why is this person sending me this offer? Well, they're sending me this offer because they want to get a second for this player, right? Or whatever, right? If they, you know, they're selling me, I don't know. What, some overvalued player for a second, right? And I'm like, no, I'm good. And I just hit reject. I know that offer most of the time is going to 10 other people, right? Or in some iteration is going to 10 other people. I need to go into depth about why I'm rejecting it, right? That's like, you're out fishing and you're out, you know, and doing your thing. And I do it all the time too. Like, I don't expect it, right? If someone sends me back something, hey, I'll do this instead, that's totally different, right? That's helpful. But most of the time, the offers that you're sending aren't going to be, if you're spam offering people, right, it's a volume thing. You're just cold calling people and hoping that, you know, one out of 12 people say yes, or one out of 11 people say yes, right? This isn't, I think the idea that you're trying to derive long lasting, meaningful life experiences with people is a little much. So, but again, then I would pivot and say that there's probably some value to having a little bit broader conversation with people. That said, like, these things can really rub people. And this is the funny part of this when you make a declarative statement like this. I have, on the flip side, I do something that is, hey, I'm interested in player X. What do you want in return? That can really rub people, right? Well, do you want to trade for him? You tell me what you'll pay. Well, yeah, but like, I don't value players the same way that you do. So I will pay a lot, but can you tell me what players that you're interested in that, you know, don't make me sort of chase, right? Tell me what you want and I'll see, you know, we'll see what we can do. Those things can rub people the wrong way too. I find that to be particularly effective, right? Ask people what they want. Because most of the time, people will tell you what, you know, their opinions on stuff, right? It's just how you ask people questions, right? You just ask people kind of an open-ended question, and a lot of times you'll get more than you bargain for, right? Just think about going to, you know, family dinners or whatever with you know, the opinionated uncle, right? The stereotypical opinionated uncle. They'll just tell you what they think, right? That's kind of what the business I want to be in Dynasty, which is I want you feeding me information so that way I can use it, right? So I find this to be the opposite of that, right? That, oh, you sent me a message offering something. Now I have to decline and give a reason why, or say what my valuation is on player X. Well, like, that's exactly the opposite of, right? I hope people do that to me. Right? I don't want to do that to people. And so I've been very, unless, and I'll give you a specific thing, which is where there's going to be something that's a broader thing, right? So again, this is be a situation where I might just ask somebody, hey, this is such and such, or maybe it's even in my inbox, and I'll say, you know, it's an offer of, you know, there's like six different people in the deal, where it's, you know, it's 3 for 3. There's, you know, quarterbacks and running backs. They're all over the place, right? There's not really anything other than a trade. It's not a clear indication from somebody else what they are seeking to accomplish. And I think in a situation like that, conversation is very productive. But I would say, at least in my experience, those offers aren't super, super common, right? A lot of the offers I get, at least that I get, tend to be much more pick, you know, player X for pick, player for pick X. Right. It isn't like, hey, this is a 4 for 4 deal involving 3 guys in the top 16 of Dynasty on each side. Right. This isn't, or, you know, these big moving swinging pieces. In those scenarios, I think it is valuable. And I, you know, in those situations, I don't necessarily tell, and I don't necessarily lead with, hey, here's my exact thoughts. on such and such. Again, people could find them if they wanted to, right? If you did a little Oppo research, it's probably not hard to figure out what I think about people. But I much rather say, like, hey, what are you trying to accomplish? Right? I receive offer, there's a lot going on in the offer. I can't really decipher it, right? There's multiple positions. There isn't a young old balance, right? There's a lot going on that I can't really put a finger on. I can't say that, hey, this person's trying to get younger, or this person's trying to do X or Y. This person appears to be trying to make a deal. I can't necessarily get to the bottom of it. That I will just say, hey, what are you looking to accomplish? What is your goal here? And are you trying to, and I don't necessarily lead people, but you're trying to get to, are you trying to upgrade a quarterback? Are you trying to sell wide receiver A, right? Are you trying to acquire wide receiver B? And this is a big, kind of a big package aimed at that. What's your goal here? And let's see, because the person offering me a deal probably, frankly, isn't valuing players the same way that I am. So what they might deem is like, hey, this is a good value and this is close, like, might not do it for me roster construction wise. And so just asking that question, I think, makes a lot of sense. I don't think, so again, I'm curious to what other people do. And these ideas I think are super helpful. But I don't think that, each offer that you receive needs to be super thought out in your decline, because most offers that you receive, I don't think are, right? So I sort of treat them with the same way of which they are sent, and at least the way I perceive them to be sent. And if there's more conversation warranted, or saying, hey, this is close, or hey, I'm interested in this, but kind of here's what I'm thinking, right? That's it. But if you don't see that the deal's coming to any sort of, like, if it's not landing close, then there doesn't need to be a whole bunch of discussion about it. Typically, that's my take on it. And but I'd be interested to see other tactics that different people have, and kind of use this as a forum to get some other AOD ideas circulating out there. So again, I don't know. We'll see if I do more of these or not. These Twitter reactions, sometimes, what you get on Twitter is worth what you pay for it. And but we'll see. And there's been different ideas and stuff that have percolated around that I've used to either use as a discussion piece or as a research project or whatever. So I figured this would be a good one to start with over the summer. So try a little stuff here over the summer. It could be a little different, and maybe we'll have some fun with it over the summer. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Let me know what you think about your trade etiquette and how much you owe to a person offering you a trade in your declination. And until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we'll talk again very soon.